How's it going, everybody? This is me again, your host, Chewy, for your podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And I am happy to report that my friend Monica is joining us today again.
Hi, guys.
Have you noticed how I say that all the time? Like, you're like the official co-host, and I say that like it's the first time you're ever here with us.
I know.
You know, but it's because like every time that you join us, I feel happy that you're here.
Aw, thank you.
So I want to welcome back the listeners that have been joining us for the past, you know, however many episodes you guys have been listening. And if it's the first time you're listening to us, thank you very much for tuning in. We are a podcast based in the U.S. I'm in Texas. Monica, where are you?
In California.
California, but you're originally from Texas also, right?
Yes, I'm from the Valley, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm actually from Mexico, but I mean,
Mexico, the Valley, it's the same thing, yeah, right? I mean, like,
people think of South Texas like Houston, you know?
And they're very, very wrong because it goes way, way further down.
Yeah, or like San Antonio, you know, maybe. Yeah. But
Central Texas.
Yeah, literally, we are... Yeah, like, I'm literally on the border. Like, I mean, I drive for 30 minutes south, and I'm in Mexico, you know? So, like... And that's because, you know, that's the town where I grew up is right across the border from where I live right now. So, yeah. So, anyways, I just want to share a little bit of background for our recent listeners or the first-time listeners. I do want to remind everybody or mention to you guys for the first time, if you're joining us for the first time tonight, that we do have a bunch of social media accounts. Our Facebook is under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And our Insta is under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is Myths Behind LGDS as well. And our Gmail is mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com.
All right. So we also have a link tree, which is kind of like a collection of links. I mean, you know, you can go in there. It's under link tree and it's behind Myths Behind LGDS also. You can find all our links there as far as our social media accounts. There's a link to our Anchor profile where you can go online and find our episodes as they come out. If you don't want to listen on that page online, you can find whether your favorite podcast outlet is available. You can also find a link to our YouTube horror music playlist. That's about, I want to say, 80, 85 songs right now. And I also started working on a blog, Monica. I think I mentioned this to you last time that we were on the air. Mm-hmm. For now, I only have the pictures. Like, the picture galleries. Like, I find pictures online and I edit them and I kind of make them creepy. Mm-hmm. So I have all those available under. They're also on our Facebook page. If you want to give us a like on there, you can see them on there as well. So, Monica, I wanted to ask you, what are we doing today, by the way? What's the episode dealing with tonight?
So, there is, you know, this little ritual in the internet where people grab a little teddy bear, and then they do this, like, it's a ritual. So, like, they have to take off stuffing from the teddy bear, and then they fill it up with rice. And then they sew it up with red thread, and then they dunk it in water, and then they say, like, you're it, tag you're it, or something like that, like, three times, and then they leave, and then they count to 10, they come back, and then they stab the little teddy bear and leave the knife with it, and then they go hide. And then the teddy bear is supposed to come to life and follow them and find them, and in order for you to, I guess, break the spell or the ritual, you have to throw salt water on them. And that's supposed to, like, kill it or make the spirit leave. And then that's the game. But, like, there's some videos on YouTube where people do it and, like, they kind of record the whole thing, the process and how it works. And some of them look kind of, like, staged, but I don't know. That's just me. I don't think they're real.
All right, so we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and speak about this mysterious ritual in more detail for you guys. Okay, Monica, so that was a most intriguing description of that ritual. By the way, what is it called? I don't think we mentioned that yet.
Isn't it like hide and seek or?
Yeah, it's hide and go seek alone or something like that. Okay. But this ritual comes from Japan, doesn't it?
Yes.
So the name that I found for it on the internet was Hitori Kakurembo. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I don't know. My Japanese skills are not up to snuff. But you mentioned that this ritual involves a teddy bear of sorts. So did you find like a guideline or like a set of rules that people were like agree on or what is the deal with this whole thing? How does one get started with this?
I saw a video where somebody, I think, found it either like on Creepypasta or some kind of like one of those platforms, and that's what he was following. And this guy was from the UK, so I don't know if like there's different rules in different countries for this, or if everybody just uses the same thing, because I saw like about 3-4 videos and they all had a different process. Like, it wasn't the same, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah, because I watched a few different YouTube videos as well, mm-hmm. and there were some differences in all of them also, but the list of guidelines that I found, it's on in this page called Hide and Go Kill.
Okay.
.fandom.com. That's kind of an ominous name.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the things you mentioned as far as like a little teddy bear or they say you can use any kind of doll.
Okay.
That's got limbs, like, you know, arms and legs. As long as it doesn't resemble a human person. So, like, not like a Barbie doll or not like a...
Why not?
Because according to this webpage, by the way, like, this ritual involves a spirit possessing the doll.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, or at least that's the belief, that's right? The idea. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, basically, if you allow a spirit in this game to possess a doll that resembles a human, it's gonna be like super difficult to get rid of it.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so that's why they would prefer that, or that they recommend that people use a teddy bear or like I don't know, something that maybe like a monkey doll or something that at least that's mm-hmm. not like a human, like, so not, again, not like a Barbie doll, not like a action figure, you know, for example.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, yeah, like you mentioned, they fill it up with rice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is because supposedly the rice attracts the spirits. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So did you find anything about stuffing it with maybe something that belongs to you as well?
I didn't. Uh-uh.
No? Because on the one that I found, it says that you need to use something from your body, preferably fingernails or hair. That's kind of nasty.
Ew.
Because this is how the spirit that possesses the doll is going to track you down.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. You
know? And then they recommend to never use somebody else's, like, fingernails or hair.
So, you know, it's borderline brujeria, basically.
Yeah, so if you get enemies, we're not saying anything. Oh, and by the way, you know, disclaimer, we're not responsible for any of the evil crap that may come your way if you decide to play this game.
Like, it's at your own risk if you want to. We're not telling you to do it because we don't know how, like, strong this could be. Like, I don't even know what it, like, from what I saw, it looked fake, but, like, it could be real, you know, for all we know.
You never know. Like, you might be the exception that proves the rule, and maybe a demon will come and possess exactly. your doll, you know?
Don't mess with demons, people. It's not safe.
Yeah. So they recommend you don't use anybody's fingernails/hair, because that would make the doll go after them instead of you. So, if you got enemies, we're not saying anything, but I mean... Again, we're not responsible for whatever may happen.
Really?
So, yeah, you need the doll, rice, stuff the rice in the doll along with your either fingernails or hair. A sharp edge object, which is mm-hmm. what you're going to use to stab the doll, right?
Yes.
Did you find anything about... would you find the salt water, right? Or yeah. the salt?
Mm-hmm.
What is your impression or your knowledge of salt or salt water when dealing with supernatural stuff? How does that help anybody?
Well, from my extensive viewing of the show Supernatural, salt repels spirits. So it's used, you know, like in the show, obviously, like they use it to, it has to be rock salt, not regular table salt. But like that's how they keep away demons. Like they put a ring of rock salt around them and they're protected in that circle. And you also, when you throw salt at them, also they like disperse, basically, like ghosts. Mm-hmm. So that's supposed to, I don't know if it ejects the spirit from something, but I know that it's used to like repel them, basically.
Huh. All right. So then you also need to fill, or not fill all the way, but put some water in your bathtub. Maybe ankle depth, you know?
Yeah.
And then find yourself a very good hiding spot in your own home, because you're hiding from this entity that will reportedly chase you around the house.
Yeah.
All right. So did you find any specific rules as to what time of night or day you can do this, or any, like, what's the procedure for this?
I mean, I think most people were doing it like at midnight or like at 3 a.m. because like 3 a.m. is like typically when, you know, supposedly ghosts are more active, spirits are more active, because it's like the witching hour or something, you know? So mm-hmm. I think that's around the time that people were doing it there, midnight. It's like sometime late at night for sure.
Yeah. So, like most, creepy stuff, you know, at night, it's most effective, yeah. You know? So basically, what I found in this webpage is, yeah, you stuff the doll with the rice with your nail clippings or your hair. You give it a name.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Any name will do. I mean, anything you want to call it. I mean, Killer, Fluffy, I mean, whatever, you know. So after you do this, you know, you fill the doll with rice and your clippings and your nails. According to this, you're also supposed to sew the opening with some sort of string, like preferably a red string.
Yes.
And that's so that the spirit can't escape the doll once it enters it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, like I said, mentioned... sorry, I can't talk tonight. Like I mentioned, sorry. You fill your bathtub with maybe like ankle depth of water, maybe like a few inches of water, you know? You need to turn all the lights off in your house.
Yes.
Right. They recommend that you leave a television on.
I didn't see that.
But on mute. You never saw that?
Mm-mm, no.
So on this that I found, it mentions that you can leave a TV on, but it needs to be like on mute. It can't be like the volume can't be on.
Okay.
You know, or it shouldn't be on. So then you take the doll. After you've done all the preparations, you know, you have all the water ready and everything in the bathtub, you give it a name,
mm-hmm.
and then you say the name of the doll, you know, which, let's say, again, you give it the name Fluffy. So, so Fluffy is it, you know, and no, I'm sorry, first you do it yourself. First you do, this is all wrong.
Sorry. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, first you do it to yourself. So let's say your name is John. So you say, John is it, 3 times. You know? And then you put the doll in the bathtub. You walk mm-hmm. away without looking back. This is important. Because if you turn around, you can actually see the doll moving or being possessed, and that will traumatize you.
Because you're not already going to be traumatized by a... doll chasing you around your house.
I know, right? So I mean, God forbid that you see something like moving, because I mean,
which is what you're trying to do in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of defeats the purpose. But I guess, you know, let's keep following the rules of this for the sake of being proper. Mm-hmm. So once you leave the bathroom, you count to 10.
Uh-huh.
And then you come right back into the bathroom, and this is important, like it needs to be dark. You can't turn the lights on, you can't, like, this all needs to be done in the dark, so you need to have an idea of the layout of your home. Like, okay. So you're not tripping around everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So you go back in after you count to 10, and then you say, I found you, Fluffy, or whatever name you give the doll. Tom, Jerry, whatever. I found you, I found you, I found you. So then after you do that, you take your sharp object and you stab the doll with it. I forgot to mention, I think that they recommend you don't use a knife or like a scissor or a pair of scissors, because that's like too violent. So they recommend a pencil or like some sort of like sharp, like either a toothpick or like something like that, something small, a pen maybe.
Not hurt you, I guess.
Yeah, because the idea is that after you quote unquote find the doll, you say, okay, so now Fluffy is it. Now, you know, whatever name you give the doll, now the doll is it 3 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the fun starts. Because once you say that 3 times, you're supposed to again put it back in the water, leave the bathroom without turning back, and then have a cup of salt water with you at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And then go and find your hiding spot. And then kind of take a sip of the water and keep it in your mouth as long as you can. And then after a few minutes, you should start hearing movement around your home, right?
Yeah.
So did the one that you find recommend that anybody else is in the house with you at the same time or no?
No, because, the ones that I saw, it was either they were alone or they had, like, their friend with them and they were both in it. So, like, it seems like nobody else was where they were at, like, at home. Like, one of these people did it, like, at a hotel, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they didn't have they had a 6-foot-tall teddy bear. And they wanted to dunk it in the pool because they don't want to do it in the bathtub. And then they ended up not being able to use the pool because the pool was closed, and they were doing it like at midnight or something. So, yeah. Or 3 in the morning.
So yeah. They had a basketball player, teddy bear.
Basically, yeah. Imagine that thing chasing you around with a knife. Mm.
Yeah, that's why they recommend you don't use a knife in case a 6-foot-tall teddy bear comes after you. So, I mean, because the one that I found, they recommend that if you have a friend with you, for them to be outside your home, like in a car or something, waiting for you. And that's in case you need help after this thing gets intense. Because reportedly, like, I mean, like I said, after you go into your hiding place and you put salt water in your mouth and you kind of keep that in there, and you're supposed to keep that in your mouth as long as you can without spitting it out or anything. And if you have to, I mean, you got the cup with you, I guess. You kind of, I guess, can recycle it. I mean,
okay.
And you should start hearing movement around the house, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, if you get found, this thing will stab you with whatever item you have used to stab it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, just sitting in the closet alone at like 3 in the morning in your house, and like a little teddy bear like coming after you? Like,
I would never. No, and I mean, I have dogs, so that would be very loud. My dogs would be going crazy, but yeah.
Your dogs probably tear it apart.
Yeah. Unless it's down with them, and then, you know, it's gonna be a mess.
So basically, if you start noticing a lot of noises, one of the videos that I saw on YouTube, the TV got super loud by itself, quote unquote, because this person was hiding in their closet, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you could hear steps walking around their home, which sounded suspiciously like people steps, you know, not a
teddy bear,
not a small teddy bear. It sounded like a 300-pound man was running in the house, you know.
Yeah.
In that video, then the TV gets super loud, and you can basically hear, it's like screaming, you know, in the living room, and this person gets super scared in the video. And the way they recommend you end the ritual is, if you can't handle it anymore, you're supposed to get out of your hiding space and find the doll before it finds you, which I don't know how that works, because once you see it, I guess it sees you also. Like,
yeah.
I guess as soon as you see it, you're supposed to say, like, I win 3 times. I win, I win, I win, I found you, whatever. And then after that, the doll's supposed to just kind of stop moving.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it properly ends is you need to either surround the doll with the rock salt, like you said.
Yeah.
Or bury it somewhere, like in a remote location, with salt so it doesn't wake up again.
Wow.
You know, so, I don't know. Like, how do you feel about this? Like, I mean, I know that you, for one, wouldn't try this. I mean...
No, thank you. No. I'm not trying to be, like, harassed by a little teddy bear with a freaking pointy object. No, thanks. Yeah.
And I don't mean that, like, to talk down to you or anything, but I mean, because I would like to go ghost hunting or maybe contact the spirit somewhere, but yeah. I don't think this would be the way that I would go around it.
I mean, there's so many movies where that stuff goes wrong, so I don't want to I don't want to tempt fate.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think I would want to, like, be my first contact with the spirit to for it to stab me and kill me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I like breathing and being in one piece. Thank you very much. I mean, I don't know. Like, because, like anything, it depends on, one, like, you, like, as a person, if you're doing this jokingly or like, whatever. I mean, do you think that would actually make it worse for you?
Like, if you're joking about it?
Yeah, and then it actually does come true. Like, do you think that spirit will be, like, more vengeful or, like...
Maybe, because you're, like, making fun of, you're mocking the spirit. I mean, I'm just thinking, like, if all this stuff is real, then, yeah, like, it would make sense that if you're making fun of it or you're, like, mocking it, the spirit would get angry and probably be more violent, you know, hypothetically speaking, yeah.
Yeah, because in a lot of movies, you see, like, some people making fun of the spirit or something, and they're usually the ones that either die first or the ones that get the worst death of the whole movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, like, would I try this? Not right now. Not today. Not today, Satan, thank you. But, I don't know. I mean, like, this is something that I've thought about. Like, would I ever try any of the things that we talk about? I mean, I don't know, maybe.
I mean, maybe if I was younger, yeah, I would, because, like, you're young and you're dumb, you know, like, you're just, like, you want to try everything, and it's, like, more, I mean, you have less to lose, I guess, and then when you're older, like, right now, like, how I am, like, and you live by yourself, like, I don't want to be alone in the house hearing little footsteps, like, or my door opening and closing without me, like, when I know no one's home, like, that. No. I already have enough anxiety. I don't need to be, like, adding to it by playing with demons. Like, no thank you.
Yeah, I have enough with, like, bills and, like, real life horror. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, I can think of things that I would, like, rather do than having a teddy bear chasing me around the house trying to kill me. But yeah, I mean, and just to kind of close things off today, I mean, we just kind of gave a brief overview description of this ritual, Hitori ga Kurembo. You mentioned you watched the video. Like, how do those videos end? Like, do they? What are the conclusions that they come with? They come to or they reach?
Well, like the one of the ones that I saw was the one with the 6 foot tall teddy bear, and I could tell that one was fake. The guys that were recording weren't really acting like they were scared. Like, it didn't seem genuine. Like, they were acting like they were scared, but you could tell that it was fake. And then the freaking teddy bear walked out of the hotel room and was, like, basically looking for these guys. But, like, I want to say that it was a person that was inside the teddy bear. Like, that's why, you know, obviously it's not real. Like, there's no way that was real because it looked way too fake. And then, like, apparently, like, at the end, this guy got stabbed by the teddy bear, but there was no blood. So, like, I don't know what, like, yeah, it was. So, and then the second one I saw was this guy from the UK who, I didn't see his face or anything, but, like, he was in his room, and he took the whole little trophy. It was a small teddy bear. And then he was reading off the rules from some page online. And he hid in his closet, but the sounds that were coming, that were, like, I guess, happening once this supposed teddy bear was already walking around, they seemed edited. So like it was too it was little kids laughing, and it sounded like it was just audio playing, so it didn't seem like, I mean, why would a teddy bear emit like little kids laughing and walking around? Like, you would think it would have like its own voice, you know? So that one ended by, you know, him, I guess, opening the door because he got curious, and then the teddy bear lunged at him, and then he just kind of like put it away, or like, I don't know, it was kind of like sudden, you know? It was for I guess for the scare, the jump scares. And then the other one I saw, that one was another guy from the UK also, and that one had, he had the teddy bear sitting down at a table, and he had a camera, his phone camera pointed at it in night vision, and then he had another phone next to it with the app, I think, that you were using that has like the voices or like the words or whatever that it detects. And that one had a like needle in his, like the long ones, like the sewing, the knitting needles, I think.
Oh yeah.
And it supposedly captured the needle moving, you know, like it's as if the teddy bear was actually breathing after he did the ritual. And apparently he had done this already. So like this one's name was Patricia, and it had been like, he kind of like locked the spirit in there with the needle so it couldn't move. And then he was filming himself downstairs in his house watching TV. So that one, I didn't really see too much of it, cause like not a lot was happening. And like, it was like a series. So there's another part for that one. But it didn't get up or anything. Like, it didn't move, like, except for the breathing part. So that one didn't really end. It just kind of, like, he was just trying to figure out what the hell was going on. But, like, if I'm completely honest, like, I saw them and I was just kind of like, oh, okay, this is kind of lame. Like, it's not what I thought it was going to be. Like, I was expecting an actual, like, actually creepy things to be happening, but they just seemed edited. So maybe it's because it's, like, the versions that I saw. I don't know. I probably should have looked up the Japanese one.
Because, I think I saw some of the same ones that you did. Not all of them, but I think I saw the one with the guy from the UK with the app. If it's not the same one, it was something similar. Because one of the ones that I saw, I had an app, and it had, like, a ghost radar thing, and it said words to him and stuff like that. And it was, I think, the second or third time he was doing it also. So it might have been the same guy. But I didn't get to, again, like you said, go all the way to the end, because I was like, okay, like not much is happening. He's just walking around.
Yeah.
So on that one, at least, he didn't seem to like edit it to like scare you or anything. He was kind of actually trying it. Like,
yeah, like, that one seemed kind of okay. Yeah, it seemed like it could have been real. Like the other one.
Yeah, and then like I was talking about the one that I saw earlier. That's like the most popular one. I think it's got like the most views out of all of them. Is that girl that does it by herself, and she's got like a white teddy bear. And then she hides in the closet, and you hear like all these like massive footsteps in the house. And again, it sounds like a 300-pound man like running around her house.
Yeah.
And you hear the TV like getting super loud and this and that. And at this point, she gets super freaked out, and she walks out of the closet or whatever she's hiding, and she ends the game, right? But everything seemed to be going okay up until like you hear like the person running around, and I think they knock like in her where she's hiding, like the door or whatever. Or you hear all these noises, and it's, you hear voices also, I think, and it just sounds at that point it sounds fake. Like when the creepy quote-unquote stuff happens, that's when I got the impression that okay, now this is like staged, you know, it's not real. You know, and one last thing before we end the segment is that apparently there's a movie, like a Japanese movie. I didn't get to see it because I couldn't find it. But I did find some information on it that there's a movie based on this game, and I think it's in Japanese or Korean. I'm not sure if I'm correct about this, but it's one of those two languages, you know.
Yeah.
So, if you happen to know about this movie, let us know if you thought it was any good or if you recommend it. Maybe we could do it later in a different episode. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that was our look into this strange ritual of Hitori Kakurembo. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And we're going to come back with the academic segment of our podcast. All right, so we have reached the point in which I get to show off my intelligence skills for you guys in the audience, the academic segment of our podcast. Today we are discussing some creatures of Japanese folklore. So apparently, I hope I pronounce these words correctly, and I do apologize ahead of time if I butcher some of these. But I found some information concerning creatures that are called yokai, right? And these are monsters that make up the manifestations beyond the human realm. So basically any supernatural monster, you know. And there's like several. There's a whole bunch of them. But I'm only going to talk about three of them right now, which are the ones that I found the most info on. One of them is called a kappa. Like, I guess the Greek letter kappa. Mm-hmm. Kappa. And basically in Japanese, that means the river child. And this is a creature that goes back to ancient times. Basically, the purpose of this creature is, you know, to scare kids out of staying away from deep water, like the rivers, oceans, etc. Mm-hmm. The way that it's described is a human-like form with webbed hands, feet, and a turtle shell. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It also has a dish with water on its head. And basically, this is its life force. If the water spills, then this spirit is weakened. So if I were you, I would just kind of like bump into it and make it spill its water. if you want to get away from it. Basically, these creatures can be seen as anything from just like slightly mischievous to like severely like troublesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can go do things as like, maybe like little tricks, like, you know, I guess frightening people, you know, like scaring them, stalking them, whatever. From that to things as serious as kidnapping kids or even assaulting women. So, oh, but apparently they love cucumbers.
Interesting.
I wish the audience could see your face right now. so basically, they love cucumbers, and if there are stories of people that when they were gonna go on a vacation to a place with water, like the ocean or a river, they would take cucumbers and kind of throw them into a river, like with their names like etched into the cucumber, so that mm-hmm. way this creature knows that it was given an offering by that family and it wouldn't bother them. So what do you think about that?
I mean, that's pretty interesting. Pretty at the same time.
So picture this, like a creature that looks like a human with uh-huh. webbed hands and feet, yet it's got a turtle shell like the Ninja Turtles. You know?
That's scary. Yeah.
And then it's like carrying a dish with water on its head, kinda like the way those like supermodels balance like books in their head, kinda like to walk that mysterious walk in their catwalk, you know?
Yeah.
And it's carrying water in it, so if it spills the water, then its strength gets weakened or mm-hmm. drained. And I don't know, that cucumber bit kind of gets to me. Like, it's kind of like cute, I guess, in a way. Like, if you go to a river, just kind of carry a cucumber with you and just kind of have it on you at all times, and this creature will leave you alone.
That's interesting. Like, what is it about the cucumber that the creature doesn't like? I want to know that.
I don't know, because like, I'm trying to think of like a creature in our folk legends that functions like that. I mean, with a food item.
I can't think of anything.
Me either. I mean, the closest thing would be like garlic to vampires, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but in this case, this thing actually likes cucumbers, and so if you give it a cucumber, then it'll leave you alone. So I don't know. That's kind of interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
So that was the kappa. The next one that I'm going to talk about is the tengu. So basically, in Japanese, this word means heavenly dog. This is kind of like a binary creature, Monica, because in some circles, it's considered holy, even to the level of God. While in some other accounts, it's called as a demon or even an omen of war. Apparently, this creature hates Buddhists. Or it's like one of the things that opposes Buddhism the most. I don't know why that would be. I'm not too familiar with Buddhism, but it would be interesting to read up on why this creature doesn't like Buddhists.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the way that it looks is like a humanoid with a face or the head of a bird. And also, they have like a fan and wings. And they attack by summoning powerful winds to like take, like, you know, blow you away, whatever. They have been accused or described as carrying off monks and like throwing them like throwing them over cliffs. I mean,
that's savage. Wow.
I mean, this guy must really hate Buddha
for real.
what did Buddha do to this guy? I mean, I thought Buddha was all about peace and love and everything.
Yeah.
So the other thing that they can do, or that they report they can do, is that they can possess women to seduce holy men. And that would allow them to sneak into the temples and steal the possessions of the priests, you know?
Wow.
But like I said, I mean, in some circles, they're considered, like, divine and even godlike. So that's kind of weird. Like, what other creature can you think of that's got, like, that kind of duality that's either, like, holy or, like, demonic?
A creature.
Or anything, really.
I don't know.
I can't think of anything. Like, I mean,
The only thing... in my head right now is a chupacabra, and that's neither of those things, and I can't get that out of my head. I can't think of anything. Like,
I mean, it's kind of weird. Like, I mean, like, because depending on what side of the fence you're in, I guess, you know, you can either really like this guy or really, like, not get along with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if you're a Buddhist, then he's gonna hate you.
Yeah.
So just a quick side note here, I do have like a little, not knowledge, I guess, but when I was a kid in Mexico, I mean, growing up in Mexico, and I think here also, there was a collection of figurines called the Monster in My Pocket, and it was like horror, like monsters that I don't know what the story was. I can't remember because it's been like 25 years, maybe more. I would collect these little figurines, and I regret to say that I don't have any of them anymore. Mm-hmm. But I would collect them. Basically, like, you bought a box of candy in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got, like, a lot of candy, but also you got, like a it's kind of like Pokemon, I guess. You got, like, a little, I think, 4 or 5 cards in each box, and also, like, a little figurine that's made of plastic.
Okay.
Right? And on the cards, you have the information for the monsters, you know, like the vampires, werewolves, etc., you know. The Tengu was one of them, and I remember him looking kind of like a griffin, kind of thing, except it's got, like, legs.
Okay.
Like, you know, a griffin is kind of like a mixture of, like, an eagle and, like, a lion, I think, or something?
Yeah.
This one is, like, a mixture of, like, an eagle and a human. If that makes sense.
Mm.
And I have a story about this, because, like I mentioned, I collected these little figurines, mm-hmm. and I had them in my room, like, in this box, right? And, I don't know what my brother was doing or whatever, but one of my oldest brothers, you know, I got two older brothers, and the oldest one, he said that, and I'm just quoting him on this, that he saw them moving by themselves a couple times.
What?
So I don't know if he was sober or not sober or anything, but I mean, I'm talking, if I was like 10 years old, he was like 20, right? So I mean, I don't know, but he saw the little creatures moving, and I only brought them up because the Tengu, I remember him being like, he was one of the creatures that was in that, like, little card catalog, whatever. So but I can't remember, like, the exact origin, because each card had, like, the origin of the creature. Like, so for example, Dracula was, you know, Transylvania, whatever. And I can't remember what the Tengu was. So I mean, I was kind of like reminiscing when I was reading this. Oh, you know, that reminds me when I was a kid, you know. So yeah, so the last one that I'm going to talk about is the kitsune, which kitsune in Japanese is the word for fox.
Okay.
Okay. So, like us in the West, they perceive their foxes to be like really clever and like, you know, cunning animals. However, in Japanese mythology, they do have the power to shapeshift and like do like naughty things, you know. Check it out. So one of their main powers or the main abilities is they take control of women
Okay.
by entering their bodies through their fingernails. Or
Fingernails.
yeah, like their fingernails, like, you know, so or also through their breasts. I don't know how that works. It just that's what I found, and that's what I'm reporting on, you know. So I hope this information is accurate. And if we're making a fool of ourselves, please do let us know. But basically, I mean, this trick, you know, where they possess women by entering their fingernails or their breasts, is called Kitsune Tsuki. I hope I'm saying that right. What do you think of that? Like, a fox that can like morph into a different creature and or possess women. Women specifically, it doesn't mention men.
I mean, it's interesting. Like, I'm just tripping out about the whole fingernail thing. Like, does it turn into smoke and then,
It like whoosh,
is
like
absorbed through the fingernails? Yeah.
maybe it turns into like dirt or something,
Yeah. Dust.
like dust, and kind of like gathers on your fingernails, and I don't know.
I keep. Is it raining where you are? Because this is like the second time that something flashes
No,
in your room.
it's not raining, but I think I know what it is.
Okay.
And I'll tell you right now. I want to, because I don't want to scare you. Yeah. So according to legend in Japan, the kitsune or the foxes, they live long lives. They're pretty intelligent, like I mentioned. They're magical creatures, like I described. And there's good foxes and bad foxes, meaning like, you know, there's levels to their mischief. But the better ones or the good ones, they can grow up to 9 tails, and basically the more tails they have in their body is the more powerful they are as far as their magic powers.
Interesting. Sounds like a Pokemon.
Kind of, right? So the belief is that if they reach 1,000 years old, you know, in age, and they have 9 tails, then they ascend and they become golden heavenly foxes called Tenko.
Cool.
I guess that's when they, you know, become like superior beings or whatever. And this is interesting. Like, I mean, again, like I'm trying to draw parallels to some of the elements in our culture, and I really can't find anything like this that I can think of. I mean,
Me neither.
because it seems like a lot of their, or at least two of the ones that I talked about, maybe even all three, are either good or bad depending on you. Like, and also, you know, so they seem to be like dual creatures. I mean, that's kind of interesting, because in our culture, for example, I think most of the supernatural creatures are like bad or evil.
Yeah. Or mischievous, like duendes. Like, duendes are just
Oh yeah, you
weird
know
little
what? Yeah,
creatures, yeah.
you're right. Exactly, the duendes, which are like what, like elves? Not elves, but
More like little,
like leprechauns, right? They're kind of like
kind
leprechauns.
of. In a sense, yeah, but they're smaller than that. They're like little tiny things.
Like pixies, I guess.
Yeah, kind of.
Because yeah, you know what? I had forgotten about doing this, which is kind of like and even then, that is this is like part of Mexican culture, by the way, not Japanese anymore.
Yeah.
But even in that, I've heard people describe them as either leprechaun, like kind of like a shorter person,
Yeah.
in height, you know, kind of like maybe like a kid, or maybe but with like adult features. Or like you say, like pixie size, kind of like, you know, maybe like a foot long, if anything.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of interesting. Any final thoughts you have on our academic segment for tonight, Monica, as far as the Japanese folk creatures that we talked about?
No, but I'm probably gonna have dreams about these things, like especially the cucumber and the fox going into the fingernails. That was a trip.
That's interesting, definitely. So, yeah, I mean, having said that, that was the academic segment of our podcast, and we hope you guys enjoy hearing about different cultures, because we're gonna be doing stuff like this, I guess, from now on, like kind of maybe if we describe a, I don't know, like a British monster or something, talk a little bit about some of the British folk. I mean, I think that's kind of interesting. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, having said all that, we're gonna move on to our final segment of tonight's podcast, and we'll be right back. Okay, so we have reached the end of our podcast for tonight. I want to thank the listeners that have been sticking around to the end of this episode. And you might have noticed the past couple episodes have been a little different in content and in tone, but that's kind of the thing we're trying to go for in this second season of ours. I mean, we are going to keep doing films and shows and everything, but we also thought it would be cool to incorporate stuff like this, you know, like cultural, folk, legend-y stuff. And we hope you guys enjoy this content. What do you think, Monica?
Yeah. I mean, the whole point is to switch it up a little bit and give you guys, like, different content. And, you know, hopefully, like Chewy said, you guys like it. And if you have any suggestions, comments, just let us know on our social media.
Yeah, because we are still going to incorporate drinking games, and I'm adamant on that. I don't know about you. Maybe not for the next couple episodes, because again, I'm gonna have some medical stuff going on. But hopefully soon. Mm-hmm. So yeah, stuff like that. I mean, just like trivia, and we're gonna try to find a way to incorporate video also, so you can watch us get hammered mm-hmm. live as we discuss the horror themes of our podcast. Shoutouts. I want to give some shoutouts tonight. I want to give shout out to Max, my coworker, because he's the one that brought this to my attention in the first place. Mm-hmm. He's the one that suggested that, hey man, why don't you guys talk about, you know, rituals or like creepypastas and stuff like that. I mean, he was one of the people that mentioned that. I mean, I know you did also, Monica.
Yes.
But yeah, Max was the one that reminded me of this ritual, because I think I heard about it before, but he's the one that, hey man, talk about it and just kind of do it. Mm-hmm. I did ask him to guest for the episode, but he adamantly refused, so...
Aww.
Yeah, he's a little shy.
It's okay, Max.
But the thing is, if you meet him, he's anything but shy. He's, like, loud and, like, you know...
but when
it, yeah, but when it comes to like, actually doing stuff like this, he's like, nah, man, nah, man. Mm-hmm. But yeah, thank you, sir, for giving us your input, your ideas, and he's giving me a lot of other films that I want to talk to you about also.
Okay.
I mean, I know we haven't done any of the ones he suggested so far, but hey, man, we're starting with this topic tonight, so hopefully that this you know, is up your alley. And I want to give a shout out to my co-host, Monica, because she is a trooper, and she keeps up with my crazy demands. I know I can be somewhat... oppressive boss sometimes.
You're good.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm not even your boss. We're co-hosts, so we're equals in this.
Yeah.
First of all,
we're partners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is first of all, and then second of all, I mean, yeah, you're awesome. So. So I don't think I've given you a shout out so far. So I want to do that tonight, because I
appreciate that.
I appreciate your work, and I know it takes a lot of your time, but you know, it means a lot to me and the listeners too, I hope.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do you have any shout-outs? Chewy.
Yeah, a shout-out to Chewy, yes, for being the coolest co-host ever, and for always having all these in-depth, like, information about stuff, because he does all the research, guys. Like, I literally basically just react. he looked into all this stuff, so all the brains is from Chewy, so thank you for that.
Thank you, my friend. I really do appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. It means a lot. Before we get all emotional, another beer.
Hey, don't cry. Don't cry.
Yeah, but the reminder to our fans of our social media pages. We have our Facebook under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. We have our Instagram under Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is the same as the Instagram, mythsbehindlgds, and our email is mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com.
All right, and like I mentioned, I'm going to try to start linking some of these videos for you guys. I mean, ghost videos or supernatural topic-related videos on the Facebook and everything like that, on the YouTube, maybe make a playlist where you guys can find all that stuff, you know, all at once. So yeah, you know, make it a little easier for you guys to find that content and understand where we're coming from. So what about our next episode, Monica? What are we doing the next episode? We're going back to doing a film, right?
Yes, we are doing... This is from the same director from one of the other movies that we've talked about. And it's got some very interesting family stuff going on that's really creepy, and it's gory, you know, I'm gonna say that. It's kind of gory, it's a little twisted, so it's gonna be fun.
That sounds very interesting, very appealing to me. I hope I enjoy this movie a little more than the one I did last time.
I hope so too. This one's a little bit better. It's more traditional in the scary movie sense.
Yeah, and it's not like I didn't enjoy the last one. I was expecting something different, I guess. But yeah, I mean, and just a quick note. I mean, this is something that I want to mention, and I think I mentioned this before, but people have been telling me, why don't you guys do like more popular films or stuff like that? And we're going to get to those eventually, I think. I mean, I do want to get to the classics. You know, the Freddy Kruegers, the Michael Myers, stuff like that, because that is my bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's so much other stuff that is not as popular, and if even, like, a couple of people are made aware of this, you know, maybe that'll kind of start, like, a little domino effect and kind of just, like, make this type of content a little bit more popular, because, yeah, I mean, the classics are always there, I mean, and I want to think that we're going to get to those eventually, Monica.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also all these other people that do them also, especially around this time of year, and that's why I didn't suggest that we do any of the classics around this time of the year, because I knew everyone and their mother was gonna do like reactions to Halloween movies, reactions to Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of good ones, you know, some of them, you know, everyone has their tastes, of course, and I tend to like watch people that have never seen horror movies before react to horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Usually those are the most fun ones, like the most genuine ones.
Yeah.
So I try to find those, and it's funny because they usually end up being pretty gross. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, but in seriousness, I mean, just before we conclude for tonight, yeah, I mean, we are going to get to those eventually, but given the fact that I thought it was just going to be a lot of the same everywhere, you know, that's why I didn't suggest that we do them for this time of year. But don't fret, they are going to be featured eventually. So, having said all that, Monica, I do want to thank our audience once again. And I want to wish them a great morning, night, evening, Bermuda Triangle, time zone, whatever you guys are. You're caught in some sort of like time rift, you know. Hope you get out of there safely. And until then, have a great one.
Bye.